Welcome back to a brand new Creative Encounter Podcast episode. I'm your host, Juett Z. Payne, and you are back for episode 58. This is an exciting time also because it is a brand new year. Yes, it is 2024, so I would like to extend and say happy new year to you and your family. Super excited to be dropping this episode and going into a brand new year, a brand new season of Creative Encounter, and just overall life and ministry and family and just all of it. A brand new season. So this is a great time, and I hope you guys are excited as I am for this new season, for this new year, for what God is going to do this year, and also for this episode specifically. It's going to be a really good one to launch and propel you and get you excited and just kind of just get you motivated into killing it this year for the kingdom of heaven. But before we jump into that, I do want to welcome you guys and say thank you so much for tuning in. We are 58 episodes in. So if you are listening on YouTube, watching on YouTube, I would love for you to go ahead and subscribe. Go ahead and also hit the bell because we drop an episode weekly. So I don't want you to miss any of it, okay? If you're on Apple Podcast, if you're on Spotify, any of those platforms, I would love for you to leave us a review, leave us a rating, follow, all of that good stuff so that we can reach so many more Kingdom Creatives through this podcast. And also, lastly, remember that this Creative Encounter Podcast episode and Juett Z. Payne Music, this is a ministry. It is a nonprofit through ACT International. So if you want to support this, I would love for you to become a monthly financial partner so we continue to do this and ministry through music, okay? Now, I know I'm saying a lot of paperwork stuff before we get into this episode, and trust me, this is going to be a meaty episode, a really good episode. I'm super excited about this one especially. But before that, I do want to say thank you guys. Christmas season just wrapped up last week, and it was a great season. It was a great time. You know, it was a busy season. You already know how that goes. You know, Christmas Eve is my wife's birthday, actually. Then you got Jesus's birthday on Christmas and all of this stuff. So it was just a crazy week, crazy weekend, a lot going on, but it was fun. It was really nice. It was great. I was excited about last Tuesday. The 26th was fantastic. Get a day of rest. It was awesome. But with that, you guys know leading up to Christmas, I was promoting my new single, Oh Holy Night. And man, again, I keep saying you guys showed up and showed out with supporting this song. I'm so glad that you guys loved it. I'm so glad that you guys loved the song. You guys helped to promote it. We had 50 reviews, 50 videos. You guys literally did 50 reels. If you go on my Instagram, if you go on TikTok, if you go on Facebook, all of that, 50 straight reels of you guys just saying your praises of this song, Oh Holy Night. It was just a great time. So I really just appreciate you guys for, you know, helping to promote it, helping it to push out. I will say at first, you're going to hear from me first. Juett Z. Payne, you're going to hear from me first. This is a single on a future Christmas record, okay? So just putting it in your ears now. You guys have loved this. I actually had one of my guys, Austin Carr. Austin Carr is a great guy. He's actually played on my first record, my first album, Who Am I? He's playing keys on some of those tracks. And this is just my guy, a great guy. And he goes, man, give the people what they want, man. Give the people what they want. They want an album. So I got to give y'all an album. Okay. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to be working on that this year. It's going to be a great time and all of that. So again, I just want to say thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Okay. So Oh Holy Night was great. We are moving forward into new music this year. So really excited about that. But again, just top of the year. And we just want to dive in just strong. As you guys saw from the title of this episode, I am talking about being the best version of one's self. Today we are talking about the Mamba mentality, y'all. Mamba mentality. My guy Kobe Bryant and his book, Mamba Mentality. That is actually the only thing I asked my wife for Christmas. I was like, yo, she's like, what do you want for Christmas? You know how it goes. I was like, you know what? I'm just literally at a place like I literally have everything I need, essentially. You know, I'm always just thinking of ways to, you know, kind of push forward and get items like that and everything. But I was like, man, like right now I'm just in this mindset of just kind of just learning and studying and reading. So I was like, I want to get the Mamba Mentality book. I would love for you to get me that, you know. And it's been, I think it's been out about 6 years, about 5-6 years is when, you know, Kobe dropped that book. And I'm like, man, I should have got this book a long time ago because it was amazing. So got it for Christmas. Read through the book leading up to this episode, and I wanted to be able to just dive in and invest in you guys by what he put in his book to invest in us. You know, this isn't just about basketball. So you ain't got to be a Kobe fan. You know, you ain't got to be playing basketball, none of that stuff. This is literally just a mentality to have in life in whatever field you're in, whatever creative field you're in, whatever industry you're in, whatever it is. This book is for you. So I'm going to be breaking down highlights and how it can relate to what you are doing as it relates to your craft as an artist. So it's going to be a great time, okay? And I do want to mention, as I was talking about my wife, you know, a second ago, I do want to mention one more again. It is New Year's, you know what I'm saying? So go ahead and look at the back. You see I got the balloons up. Trying to be a little decorative, you know, trying to learn from my wife, you know. So we got the balloons up on the wall, you know, kind of celebrating the decor and all that stuff. I just had to throw that in there real quick, y'all. I'm sorry. All right, okay, cool. So now, we're going to dive into Mamba mentality. You guys can see the book right here on my desk. Man, just had the book for a week, went straight through it. I was like, man, this is good. This is good. I've been waiting for this. And I've been waiting to start the year off and kick you guys off with everything that he has taught in this book. Now, you know, this is not necessarily a spiritual or Christian book or anything, but it totally lines up with the fact of if you want to see a big change and a big shift in your life, it starts with the mind. It starts with the mind. Everything starts from the mind. Jesus didn't say be transformed by, you know, going to the gym and working out and working on your physicality and all that stuff. All of that stuff is fantastic. All of that is good. I'm trying to make sure this year I'm going to the gym more consistently, more frequently, more intentionally, all of that stuff. But he said, start with your mind. Be transformed first by renewing your mind. If we can renew our mindset, everything in life is going to fall in place. Everything. That is a fact. Everything. Okay. Now, that's what we want to focus on. So with this Mamba mentality, as it says back there, I got the poster you can see up there says, it's a constant quest to become the very best version of oneself. Okay. Now, I love how strategic the wording of that is. The best version of oneself, because this isn't a comparison thing. This isn't trying to, you know, because especially in the arts, there's a lot of comparison, you know, just being the greatest, you know, whether it's songwriting or, you know, artist or, you know, painter or dancer, whatever it is and stuff, you can find yourself comparing yourself to others. Okay. Now it's healthy to look at others for inspiration, motivation, different things like that. But you don't want to compare because you guys are two totally different individuals with two totally different builds, physically, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, all of it, all the different layers and levels, right? So there's no way, or you should not be comparing yourself to others. That's the first thing. So you're to be the best version of oneself. So you're looking inward. You're looking inward to be the best version of you, based off of you, what you can do, and not doing anything that's subpar to where you can be or where God is calling you to be. Because I think there's so much untapped potential that all of us have that we don't tap into, right? And God is calling us to go bigger, go stronger and stuff. He sees the best in us. We know that song, you saw the best in me, right? You know, when everyone else around can only see the worst in me. You know, that famous song, that worship song that we love, right? But with that, it doesn't even really matter what everyone else sees. All that matters is what God sees in us and what we should see in ourselves. So it's becoming the best version of oneself. Okay. So we got some key takeaways from this book, from Mamba Mentality. So Kobe breaks this book down into three components. So we got, he talks about the process. Okay. So he talks about the process. Then he talks about the craft. And then the last section is facts and figures. Okay. So, or facts and stats, like all those different things, everything, okay? So, those are the three different things that he breaks down. I love that he broke it down like that because it goes from, this is my process, okay? And based off of that process, this is how I've crafted the way that I play, right? And then the facts, you know, talk for themselves, you know? Like, I can talk all of this stuff, but then on the back end, you actually want to see the fruit of that, okay? And that's the same with us. We can talk the talk, but we're walking the walk in our business, in our ministries, in what we're doing. And so we can talk the talk all day long, but now you got to walk it. And you want to see fruit from that. You want to see something produce from the work that we're doing. So that's at the back end of the book. So it's just great. So we talk about the process, okay? So the book starts off with Kobe saying, have no fear. Have no fear. Of course, he'll start the book off like that, right? So he's talking about have no fear. He says, be willing to do way more than anyone else. It takes being fearless, not being afraid to implement something new into your game. Okay, now obviously he's talking about basketball. I want you to apply this. When I say game, think about your craft, specifically what you're doing, your field, right? When you keep the end result in mind, you can stay focused on the fact that you need to try something new in order for it to become another tool in your arsenal. Okay, so you can't fear trying something new and breaking out of the norm. Okay, you have to be able to keep the long term at the forefront. You know, the long term at the forefront, so that you remember, like, in order to get to this place where I want to get to, I'm going to have to go through these things. It's not just going to happen overnight. That's not how it works. Have a short learning curve. By putting yourself in position to try new things, you go to that next level. Okay, so you want to be able to think about what's next. What's the next thing that you want to get to? Okay, so this year, we're starting this year off. Whatever little goals, whether it's by the end of this week, by the end of this month, by summer, by the end of the year, whatever these ambitions and goals and being intentional with it, you can't have fear of what's to come or it's going to just hold you back. You know, you even want to speak these things out. You know, I've had situations where, like, sometimes I kind of keep things in. I won't express to others things and thoughts that I have on my mind and things like that. We want to break out of that. You know, now, I will say this. Be careful with who you share your vision and things with, you know, because everybody's not for you. You can't necessarily trust folk. We're going to get to the area where we talk about different individuals that you want to stay connected with and, you know, family and friends and mentors and coaches and things like that. You want to be able to share these things with those trusted individuals, because it is true. You're not going to be able to trust everyone. Let's just be real. This ain't no fluffy podcast. You're not going to be able to trust. Not everyone is going to be in your circles, you know, that. So you do have to have this kind of separation, you know, kind of happening. But at the same time, you do want to share and things like that. Okay. So the next one says, it's funny, he says, I did biblical workouts. So now, by biblical, you know, he wasn't talking about, you know, scripture. What he was talking about was, like, looking back at history. His workout was based off of history. All those people in the past, you know, following the greats before, who came before. And if something worked, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Keep what works, even if it's unpopular. Okay, so in your field, the basics, you know, all those things that seem mundane, those things that people don't really care for, but those are the nuances, those are the components that are specific, you know, to whatever your craft is. So, for example, with songwriting, okay, you can try some new stuff. That's totally fine. You want to be able to be creative, you know, but if you know strategies are already working, like, for example, okay, all of the songs that are popular, what's similar through them, okay? You got your verse, your pre-chorus, your chorus, verse two, chorus again, bridge or vamp or something. They wrap it up with a chorus. Then you may have something where, you know, music drops. So you got everyone kind of chanting one specific line over and over again and stuff. And all of the popular songs are kind of following that same format. You know, one harmony, two-part harmony and stuff. So that's just me, you know, as a songwriter. So as I'm putting songs together, you know, you have a basic structure that you can follow. And then from there, yeah, you want to be creative, you know, add different elements, different instruments, you know, have something that's different, start something with the chorus first, mix it up and everything. But you want to start off with, you know, what's working. You know, you have to just jump in reinventing things, you know what I'm saying? So just doing, following what's working. And then, of course, add your own personality, how you're created to that, you know, it's going to flow. Because all of this comes from God. And if he made you individualized, you have to put your individuality in what you're creating. So don't forget that. Okay, that's very key. Now, this one I love. And this is what I'm, these are things I'm implementing too. So all of these are subtopics in the book. So the next one was, my midnight workouts have become a thing of legend. Okay, so this is interesting. Now, just listen here. Now, this doesn't necessarily sound, you know, what we learn, you know, churchy or whatever, as far as being obsessed with something. Okay. Now, what he's saying in his book is if you want to just be one of the greats, you have to be obsessed with it. Now, what he's saying with this is, like, you have to want this so bad that you're willing to do anything to make this happen. Okay. Anything within reasonable means, of course, right? You know, but you want to be able to do anything to make this happen, to make this manifest. Okay. And with this, what he would do is he realized he has real world responsibilities. And that led to his additional workouts. Okay, so he was able to work out at 5 a.m. because he realized he wasn't willing to sacrifice family time. He loved basketball and family. So he wasn't willing to sacrifice family time to just fully focus on basketball. So what he'd do is he'd go work out at like 5 a.m. so he could be back for the kids in the morning so that they wouldn't even miss him at that time, right? Then, you know, be able to take them, pick them up from school, you know, do different things like that or whatever, get another workout out, you know, while they're in school, you know, put them to sleep, be there while they go to sleep, then go back to the gym and hit it again. And what he would do is, you know, most players would do, you know, about like two workouts a day. He would squeeze in a third workout just so he could be ahead of the game, you know? So it's like, I know that if they're doing two or whatever, I'm doing three a day, that's just going to take me way ahead and they're going to have to play catch up to get to where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? So if there's a specific thing God is calling you to do, I'm just going to straight up tell you. I know a lot of people say, oh, I'm not a morning person. I like to sleep in and stuff. From everything I see, even in scripture and all of the greats, a lot of them are saying you're going to need to get up early before everyone else to make this happen. If you have a dream, you want it to happen, you're going to have to sacrifice something. So he's like, the thing I had to sacrifice, he said, I'm going to have to sacrifice sleep because I wasn't willing to sacrifice family or basketball. So I'm going to have to sacrifice sleep. Okay, so that's just what it is. So that's part of the game, okay? So starting early helped me balance basketball and life. That's what it was. Now, some other things. Kobe was a studier. He was big into detail and studying, okay? And that's what we want to be able to do to go to that next level. So this man would study film day and night. So some enjoy looking at a watch while others enjoy figuring out how a watch works. And that's what he said. It's like some people like to look at this, but some of them are like, I want to get into the fine details of it, right? So from a young age, he was devouring film. That's what he said. He devoured it, okay? So he watched, study, and asked the important question, why? There was a shift from watching film to see what happened to watching what could and should have happened, okay? So you're going to shift it from, okay, what could have happened? Now, this is a big one for me because I remember when I first started as an artist, like being on stage and performing and things like that, I did not want to go back and rewatch myself. You know, just like that whole kind of just, you know, intimidation, just being shy and being like, oh, I don't want to see myself, you know, all of these different things. But stuff, now I'm at a place, you know, I have so many videos of just me leading worship at different churches online and stuff. I like to actually go back and watch that so I can see, okay, this is what I could have done better. You know, okay, maybe I didn't have to stay on that topic too long in between the song, more energy on the song, more movement, more engaging. You know, leading worship and stuff, you know, those moments. So it's crazy. Like when you're leading, you know, it's easy for us to kind of get lost and have our eyes closed and just kind of just focus on our own worship and stuff. It's like you actually hear ushering, bringing everyone in to point to him. So you do want to lock eyes and engage and, you know, smile, you know, be there in all these different parts of the experience for those who are in the congregation. So everything from leading worship to playing an instrument, whatever it is, playing basketball, all of it, everything has its systems and things that you want to follow, okay? So all of that. So like how he watched tapes and just really just trying to be like, okay, I'm watching this. What should have happened? What could I and should I have done differently in this play, right? So same thing. Whatever you do or if you have an art show, try to record those events. Try to record them, video record, audio record, whatever these things are. Try and get all of that. Take notes, all of that so that the next one can be better and better because you want to become the best version of oneself. You don't want to be stagnant. Stagnancy is death because we are always be moving upward. Okay, there's no in between. Okay, so you want to imagine alternatives. Watch yourself and prepare for the next one. Imagine those alternatives. Okay, what do I want to do for the next time? Okay, that's key. Okay, so not training your body only. You want to train your mind. That's what's called Mamba mentality. It's about training the mind, okay, making those shifts in the mind. Focus on all the details in your daily life. Read, study, practice, work, okay? It's so easy to get to a level. You can see the guitar. It's so easy to get to a level where it's like, okay, I can get by, play these chords, play these songs, bam. But no, you want to continue to build on this craft. You never know. There could be so many countless situations that God has not presented in front of you because you're just simply not ready for it. You're just simply not ready for it. Okay. And it's not ready like you're actually training and trying to get there. There's just some things you're not even putting yourself in position for those open doors to come. And God isn't out here to just like sit here and put us in positions to whether embarrass us or something where it's like, I'm going to put you out there to show your inadequacy and things like that or whatever and stuff. I don't think he's in the business to be doing stuff like that. I think sometimes he's just like, I'm not going to open this door, you know, until you're ready. Or sometimes there will be opportunities where you're like physically there and it was tough. It was hard to kind of get through that situation. But how much prep did you do before that? You know, I've had situations where it's like, I'm doing a show. I'm just putting myself out there. I did a show and stuff and I'm like, oh, this is all good. Then there's a twist, you know, a new song was thrown in and just ill-prepared for those things or just didn't really even practice it, you know, things like that. So being able to put yourself in a position, and God pays attention to those things. He's our manager. We are stewards of what he's blessed us with and things like that. So it's just like being at a job, you know, you're not going to get that raise or go to that next higher position if they're not seeing the metrics and seeing that you're doing well in that position. God is seeing everything that you're doing, you know, whether anyone is around or not. So if you want to go to that next level, get those opportunities, you want to be able to prepare yourself and have your mind in that place, okay? Also, in order to do that, you want to cultivate relationships with the greats in your field, okay? Don't try to do everything on your own. Try to cultivate those relationships. That's what Kobe was saying he would do. He said he would call like these dudes at like super early in the morning, super late at night, just to get these tips and ask these questions. Everyone who played ball before him, he would connect with them and try and just get every tip and ask them like, okay, what were you thinking when you did this play? Okay, how did you do that? You know, how did you avoid, you know, this situation and things like that on the court? So it's like, man, this dude was just always studying. And that's what I want us to be able to do. So let this be a year of not just saying, okay, this is my goal. You know, whether it's to lose weight or whether it's to have this many projects lined up or make this much money and things like that, you're not going to be able to make that happen unless you're studying. Okay, so I can say like I want to, you know, reach 6-7 figures this year. You know, I should be reading, you know, financial literacy books. I should be studying, you know, millionaires, those who are actually there, hearing their stories, right? Learning how to save, learning how to give. All of these are components, especially giving. All of these are components to be able to take you to the next level in that realm of finance, right? You know, and these are things you're necessarily going to learn like in, you know, the school books, you know, that we grew up learning from, right? But these are things that are biblical. These are things that are scriptural. You'll see all of this. They're very proverbial. You'll see all of this stuff, okay? Very, very proverbial. You'll see all of this, right? So the next part of that is you have to have an understanding circle of family and friends. This is a huge one because nothing can be done without community. This is a huge one, okay? So with this, whatever vision God has given you, if there are people in your circles who this is going to affect, you have to have those conversations, say, hey, God is calling me to this. Are you going to ride with me? How are we going to make this happen? There's going to be some shifts happening. Because this isn't just me making up something. Like, this is something God is specifically calling me to do. And in order for them to be supportive, they have to know what God's calling you to do. And it's one of those things where you have to show them what you're about. So being real with you, you can't be someone, again, who just talks the talk and you're not walking it. Otherwise, it will be hard for family and friends to support and back you on what you're doing. Okay, so you have to show like, okay, God called me to do this big crazy dream and stuff. What's your track record? Track record is key, okay? If you want to go to the next level and you want those people to be able to support you in that, you have to show up and show out. That's why I'm so blessed to see, I have so many partners and supporters of this ministry. We work hard, we work diligently to release amazing music, take it to that next level. All Holy Night is just a foretaste of new stuff that's going to be dropping this year, guys. I'm telling y'all. So we're taking stuff to the next level. People have been seeing this podcast, being blessed, comments all day long of how this is blessing them and stuff. So the fruit is there and people are seeing it. Okay, and that's why people are supporting. So you want to be able to do that for your family and friends so they can support you as well. Now, he also moves into talking about greatness. What does it take to be great? Check this out. If you want to be great in a particular area, you have to care about it and obsess over it, right? Now, we talked about that again. That doesn't sound necessarily good in our Christian realm of thought, but if you look at scripture, people like think about David. Now, I'm always, you know, kind of going into like the music realm, right? But think about David. David was so anointed by the Lord that when Saul was being tormented by evil spirits, when they called David over, he played his instrument. It was healing to Saul, and the demons will flee, right? Now, I'm pretty sure, yes, the anointing is there, but there is a practice in this as well, okay? I know my boy was practicing his instruments, okay? And get to that place where he's putting the Lord first. He had that heart of worship, okay? He had that heart of worship, and that was just the excellence. He was just great in what he did. He was a great king. He was training as a young child with the lions and all of that stuff and saving the sheep and everything like that, and God put him in position. He didn't shy away from that role, you know, being a shepherd boy and all of that stuff, right? So all of these different things, to be great, you will have to obsess over being skilled, you know, being in battle, warfare, all these different things. You can't just be all like, oh, God will take care of it. I'll figure it out and stuff. No, they were training just all the greats you guys see out there, all the greats that we listen to and watch and follow. All of them obsess over their craft, okay? And that's what I want for you. I want you to want this so bad that it's like you just don't feel at peace or rest until you are working hard at making this thing just do well and excel and all that. That's where you want to be at, okay? Now, he mentioned this, greatness is not for everyone. It requires a lot of tough choices, and it requires your loved ones to sacrifice too, okay? As we mentioned, it takes effort from others for one person to chase a dream of being great, okay? So it really takes a community for one person who is chasing a dream to be great. And then it's crazy because the benefits of that are just so much. The benefits are so much. When you are supporting someone who is going out there to do great things, especially great things for God, all of that overflows. If you are supporting them, that's going to come back on you. It truly is. Like, there's nowhere in scripture that says, like, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall man give unto your bosom, right? God will bless you abundantly when you are being a blessing, right? So it just keeps going on. So being great takes sacrifice from loved ones as well, right? Now, the fine line between obsessing about your craft and being there for your family is like walking on a tightrope. Okay, it's not like just walking on a straight line, like it's just easy. That's not how it goes. There will be shaking and leaning left and right to get your balance. But you can't achieve greatness by walking a straight line. You just can't. Okay, there will be those moments where it's like, okay, I got to do a little bit more over here with the family today. Because that's your support system. You can't neglect. So it's like, today, I'm doing a little bit more over here with the family. Over here, they have to understand I got to get back to work if we're trying to go to that next level. It's just going back and forth, and that's okay. That's life. That is life, okay? That's the balance there. Okay, so jumping down here, I love this. I always like the peace and calm of the arena before everyone else got there. That's another thing, too. Some greats I've spoken to, even on this podcast, they say, make sure you are the first one there. People notice that. That was funny. Kobe noticed that. He was always like, this whole thing about Kobe being a ball hog and all this stuff, whatever. Y'all don't know what y'all talking about. And I was like, no, but anyway, Kobe being a ball hog and everything like that. They were talking about this. They're like, yo, I don't know if it was Iverson or somebody. They're like, dude, I'll always be like, yo, Kobe is a ball hog. And then I realized he would talk to his guys and be like, yo, I'm not passing you the ball because I see how you work out. I see your work ethic. And I'm like, I'm not about to be banking on anyone else but myself because I know the hours that I'm putting in. I know how much work I'm putting in to this, right? So with that, he's like, getting there nice and early, okay? Those moments where you're staying there early, staying afterwards and all this stuff, just putting in that extra effort, you know? But the peace and calm of it before and after also gives you time to prepare yourself mentally. Like, if I'm leading worship and I'm getting there early before everyone else, I can set the atmosphere, set the tone. It's setting the atmosphere and the tone for the team, first off. The team's like, wow, the leader is here first when I'm sitting there waiting on them. We want to try our best to not let that happen, okay? That's key. But you want to be there first to even set the atmosphere, you know, to pray over the area, to pray for everyone to be touched through the worship or through the word or through the message. Or if you have like an art show or something, you know, let your art, you know, be touching to them. Just really setting up everything and giving you that somber, calm, peaceful atmosphere and spirit, that's very key before anything that you do, okay? Now, be curious. Ask tons of questions. Desire to improve, learn, be filled with history, okay? Now, this is interesting. Regardless of whether or not, because there were moments where Kobe was saying how people did not appreciate, some people appreciated all the questions he had, and some people didn't. Okay, now this is the key. This is just the mindset that he had, next level. Regardless of whether or not they appreciated the question, I would risk embarrassment now rather than risk embarrassment later when I don't win any titles. That was his mindset coming in. He's like, yo, everyone who's in the league, I'm about to ask them a bunch of questions so I can learn. I think in this generation, not necessarily this generation, but those who are in the arts field specifically, sometimes that's a stigma to be asking a lot of questions and things like that because we don't want to put ourselves out there in our craft. But then also there just can be this pride of like, oh, I'm not going to ask anyone any questions so I can look like, you know, I got it together. I know this. Or I'm not trying to connect with others, just trying to get my stuff out there and all that stuff, whatever. And so we got to break that. When you work in community, that's why I love the collaborations, you know, the band collaborations, connecting with other artists. And I'm telling you, when I have other artists here talking to me on this podcast, I absolutely love it because I'm like, yo, I'm downloading everything you guys are saying. I could easily be like, oh, I don't want anyone else on this podcast or talking about what they're doing and all that stuff. You know, it just doesn't, even just talking like that, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You want to be able to connect with others and learn from them as much as possible. Otherwise, you may not have any big wins later. Okay, so you're doing all this work. You want to work smarter, not harder. Okay, so all of this grueling work and all this stuff that you're doing and everything is just so much better when you are connecting with individuals. Okay. And speaking of grueling work, he talks about just do it. Of course, you know, got the Nike, you know, Kobe with the Nikes and everything like that. You know, so he says, just do it. That was one of the chapters, right? So he says, daily preparation for him was not an option. It's not an option. We can't make this an option. No more options, y'all. 2024, no more options. It is a must. If you want to play, this is what you have to do. So you got to show up and do it. Okay, all the grueling routines, the strenuous days, all of it is making you stronger and preparing you for that next level. Otherwise, when that next level or opportunity does come, you're not going to be prepared. I'm telling you, other people will take those spots. Now, we're not comparing to others. You're trying to be the best version of yourself so that you don't miss any of those opportunities that God is calling you to do because he wants you to go out there and reach the people. Okay, so for you to be able to do that, you're going to have to get yourself in line. Okay, so when you're tired, he was tired, which I think I'm going to start taking advantage of this because I really try to like push through not sleeping as much so that I can get stuff done. I'm telling you, like I'll be up 5, 6 a.m. just get those extra couple hours in, whether it's to work out, whether it's to read, whether it's to write, whatever it is. I try to get those extra hours in while the world is quiet to get this stuff done. But then throughout the day, there are those moments where it's like, yo, I'm tired. I'm exhausted, right? So, you know, what he would do, he says, when tired, I would take those cat naps, 15 minute little cat naps to get the energy back to have peak performance, okay? So wherever you can get those in, but you need those moments by yourself. You definitely need those moments by yourself in the middle of the day, things like that, at the beginning of the day, end of the day, have those moments to yourself so you can really get focused and get things done before all the distractions come in, okay? And speaking of distractions, this was not in the book, but I'm going to do an episode on distractions because, oh my sweet God, distractions. It's like the computers, the phones, the electronics, all of it just wasting away at life. It must stop. Let this be a year where you put the phone down, y'all, please, you know. Put silent mode on, put your, focus mode on your phone, you know, all these different things. Put these strategies in place if you want to see the success. You can write all this stuff out all day long, but if you're distracted, anything that's not pushing you toward your end goal, it's not going to happen, y'all, or it's going to happen way slower with the few years we got. It's going to happen way slower if you don't focus. Okay, so I'm going to do a whole nother episode on that because that's just a big thing, just focus in general. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so cause and effect. Pain stems from an imbalance somewhere, okay? So if there's pain in any kind of way, now he's talking about his physical pain and he's talking about, you know, all of, you know, if he hurts, what's he talking about, like his ankle or something, that's going to affect, you know, his hips, his back, all that stuff. Everything's connected and stuff. Now, what I'm talking about as it relates to you are these pain points. There's an imbalance somewhere. So if you're feeling like, man, I can't get this done or there's too much stress over here, maybe you got too much stuff piled up. You have to cut some things out of the equation possibly. Or maybe you do need those moments to just rest and relax and everything in between, but make sure you're just strategic. My whole thing is be intentional and strategic. There's nothing wrong with rest. I'm not saying you can't sleep in sometimes, but it has to be strategic and intentional. If you're like, okay, I have this really big project at 10 a.m. and I got to make this client who is just like a big one right here, and I need all the rest and energy or whatever. As long as it's like really strategic that you're doing that, do it. But if this like you're sleeping in and you didn't even prep for what you have to prep for, then that's not being successful. Okay, that's not being intentional, right? So just keep it in mind. You have to know, a big thing Kobe said in his book, you have to know your body. Know what works for your body. He talked about when he was young and then getting older. Okay, he had to tweak some things. You know, he could just burst on the court when he was younger. Then he had to be a little bit more strategic, you know, as time went on and things like that. So keep that in mind as it relates to your craft, okay? Now, same thing, segueing into that. The routine may change over time, but the approach can't. Train and prepare intelligently. Again, when he was younger, he was explosive, all of that. But he had to focus his shifts later. Don't change the obsession, though. In every activity you do, try to do the best of your ability. So if you're 20 years old, watching this 20 years old, and you can do a little bit more than us who are in our 30s, you know, do the best of your ability at that time. As times change or seasons change, you know, you get married, you have kids, you get older, whatever it is, during that season, do the best that you can during that season. Okay, during that season of time as well. That's key to focus in on that too, okay? Now, let's see. Oh, this is really cool. So this dude just thought so wild, so crazy, okay? So in 2000, I remember being, I was about 12 years old, watching these games, man, Kobe and Shaq, all of that good stuff, you know? But in the, I believe it's the second game of the finals, is when he hurt himself. And be like, no, this can't happen right now. You know what I'm saying? So he was able to do some type of, you know, training stuff to come back. I believe it was like game 3 or game 4. He was able to come back, all of the stuff. They ended up winning the championship, as you know, 2000, 2001, 2002, all of that. But what he did was that summer, he actually was doing some tap dancing. So he's doing tap dancing over the summer to be able to train himself to kind of get back into his rhythm and his moves. So after he hurt his ankle in the 2000 finals, Kobe took up tap dancing to strengthen his ankles, improve his foot speed and his rhythm. So he would just do these unconventional things to just really just train himself. So sometimes you do have to think out of the box to go to that next level, you know. So let's say, for example, if I am, trying to get faster on my fretboard, you know, on the guitar and stuff or whatever, you know. I may just be doing some other things, whether I'm typing faster or, you know, tapping faster, just doing some other random things to just strengthen my fingers and the movement and speed of it, you know, all of that. So just think of like different unconventional ways to take yourself to the next level as well. It just stretches your mind too, to just be more creative in tougher situations as well. So just keep that in mind. Now, there was a section of the book as well where he was talking about all of the key mentors in his life. He was talking about Jerry West, Magic, Kareem, Muhammad Ali, Bill Russell, Byron Scott. You know, he's talking about all these different individuals who mentored him and took him to the next level. So keep in mind, you want to have your mentors. You want to have your coaches. You already know Phil Jackson was the man. Phil Jackson was the man when it came to coaching, you know, when it came to all of that. So you need a coach who is a visionary. He said Phil was a visionary. He wasn't just coaching for that game. He was a visionary. He was able to put all those key people in place and have them to see steps ahead in the game. It's insane. Like, you think, okay, just this play. Now you're thinking, if this happens, what if this can veer to the right? Option A, option B. Option B has three options of what can happen. He would just take them to the next level and how they thought. And it was insane. So have someone who could take you to the next level. Have the mindset to pass on also what you learn as well. And that's what the scriptures tell us too. You know, as Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, I am training you, train up someone who's going to make disciples who are going to make disciples. So you're thinking generationally. So Kobe had a conversation with Phil telling him how he's training the girls. You know, he was training his daughter and all of that stuff. And he was using the triangle offense, you know, which was a big offense that Phil Jackson used in basketball. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that was a big thing, the triangle offense. And then he said Phil was just shocked to see how much he retained from what he learned from him and stuff. So he would just take him to that next level where Kobe was training others as well. And that's what we want to do as well with our craft, you know. So reading is fundamental. This was cool. I love when you said the slow one, because what he would do is he would read the referee handbook. He would literally read the referee handbook so that he could know about these dead zones, because pretty much depending on how the floor was set, depending on the plays and the positions, referees will be in specific spots on the floor. He would memorize where those spots were on the floor so that he can know where those dead zones were. So pretty much like on the court, you can't get away with some stuff that the referees aren't going to see. You know what I'm saying? So you want to be strategic, also learning the different strategies of the field and the industry of whatever you're doing. Like, for example, man, there's so many times on stage, I'm sitting there playing, you know, I'm hitting the wrong chords, hitting the wrong notes, but you don't think, oh no, I messed up, and pause and all of this stuff, whatever. You got to know, like, okay, I understand the congregation. You got to know, like, half of these people are not musicians. Half of them know what's going on. Half of them are worshiping, you know, paying attention to different things and stuff, whatever. So as you just mess up, you just go and just keep playing. You know, don't let them know what's happening and everything like that. So you just got to be strategic in everything, okay? So, again, I keep talking from a music perspective because I'm just a music guy. That's how it is. You think of it from the perspective of what works for you, okay? Now, playing through the pain. Playing through the pain. When things get rough and tough and difficult, whether it's with family, spiritual things, you know, finances, you know, those hard days, hard times and things like that, you just got to push through it. You have to push through it and look at the end of the tunnel and not the situation. There's some situations, you know, you got Gary Vee, you know, that was, you know, Kobe's guy who kind of just take care of him on the court if there's any injuries and all that stuff, you know. So in 2009, he had a fractured finger, Gary Vee, and he told Gary Vee, I want to get back on the court, you know, back on the floor. He asked him, can it get better? The answer was no. So Kobe said, exactly. And we can't do anything about it. And now it's not going to get any worse. So go ahead and tape it up and let's get back on the court. You know what I'm saying? So he just had that mindset of, like, physically, yes, the ball hurt. He said the ball was hurting physically, but with the splint that he had on. But mentally, he knew that it was protected. So you have to get to that point where even though physically, now this is a preach right here, even though physically things are hurting, you got to know in the spiritual realm, God got you. God got you covered. You're covered. So when these situations are hard and tricky and stuff, you keep pushing through because if God gave you that vision, show me somewhere in scripture where he let somebody down, where he gave them a vision. You can't find it from 1 to 66. You can't find it. You know, so God is there with you. So you have to remember spiritually that you're protected, you're covered. He's not going to let anything overtake you to the degree where you're just out there. You know, there'll be these hard days and hard times, but he is there with you fully. Okay, so keep that in mind. Okay, he's talking about his torn Achilles. You know, that was his Mount Everest. He called that his Mount Everest. Okay, getting older, and he was on the clock. It was funny. I follow, you know, obviously Kobe on IG and everything. So I was looking at one of his posts that he did back, I think it was around 2013 when the whole Achilles thing happened. He posted, man, they just showed me this newspaper where people are saying, I don't think he's going to come back. It's like, man, I got to show them different, you know? So it was literally posts of people saying, like, yo, he's not going to come back. He knew he was getting older, but he was not about to let the injury dictate his retirement. He said, I'm going to dictate my retirement, okay? So having that just mindset, that training your mind in such a way where you just know what it's capable of and not settling for what's happening around you, exterior circumstances, any of that stuff, having that mental shift going into this new year. That's what you want to be able to do. Okay, so there was an evolutionary revolution. Now, this was cool because he's talking about his Nike shoes and the design of his Nike shoes. And just think about that, too, about branding. Whatever your craft is, the brand and how things look and everything is key, too. So even just this layout right here, you know, I have people messaging me like, dude, you know, show me about, you know, how you do your podcast and setting that up. You know, I'm thinking of doing one, you know. Obviously, I'm doing a podcast, but they're also seeing on YouTube how everything laid out. You know, I got the table. My wife helped me find the circle table, which I love because it breaks down. You know, I got the computer back here. You know, I got the Creative Encounter, you know, emblem back there. I got the balloons up for the New Year episode and everything. Got the guitar. You know, just add some musicality to it. Got the candle back there. You know, it says Dream, you know, microphones up, you know, just a nice layout, just give it a nice brand, right? And all that stuff. So he was saying with his shoes, you know, he had to really pay attention to craft and detail. So even with that, he's just a businessman as well. So keep that in mind whenever you're doing anything, this year, whatever you're trying to launch, if you're trying to get that five figure consistently, six figure, seven figure, go to that next level. We're going to talk about strategies about that this year too. You want to be able to make sure your brand is making sense, that people can know, like, yo, this is the brand. This is who I think of when I see this and stuff. You want to be able to do that, okay? You know, then it was, again, evolutionary revolution. So he studied other shoes, and it's crazy because he had his Kobe 4s. They were low tops. Okay, so they were low tops. They were like, Nike told him, we're not about to do a low top. He's like, hold up, I'm the ball player. You know, I'm the one who's invented this. So we're going to do some low tops, because he was studying other shoes and in other sports. And, you know, typically as we grew up, you know, we're like, oh, let's get some high tops because it's supporting the ankle. He actually found out the high tops actually weaken the ankle and it saps mobility. Okay, so when you have the low tops, you're able to move more, and that the high top isn't keeping it constrained. And, you know, he was the Black Mamba. He wants to slither through and get through everything. So he's like, let's create these, you know, Kobe 4s that have like a low top. And that was like a new strategy and stuff. So, you know, just kind of just creating these new things and things like that. So always try to think of how you can take what you have and offer more and make it different. You know, have fun with it. Have fun with your craft and your creativity. Okay, now, as we get close to the end here, we want to talk about keeping it real. He had a section called Keep It Real. So he said when he was young, image was everything. Like just looking cool, image, all of that good stuff. As he became more experienced, he realized that no matter what, people will like you or they won't like you. That's just how it is. And I want y'all to get this in your heart and spirit too. People will like you and people won't like you. Me, Juett, I'm cool with that. You can like me. You cannot like me. I'll pray for you that your heart stays good as it relates to me or whatever, but you don't have to like me. Everybody's different. That's totally fine. But what he says is you want to be your authentic self so that whether they like you or don't like you, they like you or don't like you for who you actually are. Okay. So don't try to put on a facade and try to be someone else so that you can be a people pleaser and all that stuff. We don't have time for people pleasing. We got a job to do. You know what I'm saying? There's only one you, you know, these little quotes and stuff. There's only one you. This stuff is true. There's only one you. So be yourself. Don't regard yourself whether people like you, don't like you. Make sure you're doing it in a godly fashion, being yourself. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Don't be just someone who's just bogus and all of that stuff and that people don't like you because you're being bogus. No, do the right things for the Lord. If people like you, whatever. And be authentic. That's key. Okay, cool. Man, it's just so much in his book. So then it kind of goes into his leadership style, which is similar to me, which is why I love this, which is why I feel like even at a young age, before I even knew who I was in the Lord and it, as myself and as a creative, even when I was watching Kobe when I was like, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old, I would just like gravitate towards this dude and be like, man, I just love him, my favorite player. And I see, like, we have so many similarities as now I'm, you know, in my 30s and I know, like, who I am, just my personality and all these different things. He says his leadership style, he likes to challenge people and make them uncomfortable. That is 100% Juett. The second point on that, this leads to introspection, which leads to improvement. Yes, I dare people to be their best selves, and which is why this book is here, right? So he challenged people and makes them uncomfortable. That is so me. I'm like, I look at you. If I met you, whoever's watching this, if you comment below and tell me about yourself, or if we're chatting and talking, I could look at you and be like, yo, you can do X, Y, and Z. And I get so excited about it. And I challenge you and I'll be like, yo, what are you going to do to make this happen? Have you started this yet? What's up? What's going on? What's taking so long? Why have you not started this? Why you keep talking about it and you're not doing it? I'm getting super excited even as I'm talking now, thinking about it. You see, I get like real excited about this stuff. And it says this leads to introspection. I'm asking you all these questions. You need to sit there and question, why am I not doing this? What if my upbringing has happened that is not allowing me to step out? What does someone say to me that I'm letting affect me too much? What am I fearful of? Just all these different things, right? It leads to improvement. If you can introspect, it will lead to improvement. Okay, so it's very important. Daring people to be their best selves. Okay, that's key. Daring people to be their best selves, okay? So that's all as it goes with the first part of the book, which is process, okay? Then it goes into craft, okay? Now, craft was awesome because he goes through this ridiculous he, okay, let me tell you, I'm just getting excited thinking about it. He thought so next level as a ball player that based off of each individual he played, he had a different way of playing based off of who he was playing that night. Okay. Now, in basketball, of course, you have to strategize based off the team, whatever. He went through each person by name in the book. They gave him problems. The people who were like the good folks, you know, the opponents and stuff. And he broke down, yeah, I knew that they would do this. So this is how I played when I played them. And I knew that they would do this. And then I would go back and change this based off of what they did. And he breaks down this whole thing on all of these different players. You already know. I mean, you got Reggie Miller. You know, you got MJ. You got Dennis Rodman, Reggie Miller, LeBron, you know, KD, Dwayne Wade. He went through Tim Duncan. He went through, like, all of them. It was crazy, you know, and then he just breaks it down. And he talks about pressure. Kobe never felt outside pressure. Okay, he never felt outside pressure because he said the pressure that he put on himself was higher than what anyone else could expect from him. Okay, so anything anyone put on him, so he was just at next level where, like, just in and of himself, he wanted to be at the top level. So that any pressures that would come on the outside, it just wouldn't affect him because it's like, that's nothing compared to where I want to be already, you know? So it was like nothing, you know? So it was wild. It's just wild. Just this whole book is insane. Okay. I love how he says, God gave us two hands. He said, God gave us two hands. So he'll be bothered. Even at a young age, he would just be annoyed being young, being like, yo, I got my right hand. I'm dominant. And my left hand is weak. He hated feeling that weakness. So he would train and practice that. He said he would brush his teeth with his left hand just to train and just have this balance where everything was equal. So it's kind of the idea of like being ambidextrous, but in all things. So whatever you can, wherever those weaknesses are, embrace them, recognize them, and then go ahead and make that change to be like, okay, this is a weakness. Let me go ahead and enhance that. You know, like for me, training myself to not use a capo when I'm playing guitar, learning these chords without the capo, all these shapes, all these funky shapes that hurt, training myself to do that. That's key as an artist, right? You want to be able to do these things, okay? Man, it's just so much, y'all. You know, kind of wrapping up here, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up at these last points and stuff. This book is just amazing. I can go on and on, but I want to again give you these last key points here. When he got hurt, he said he never dwelled on what happened. It was painful, but it was not going to get worse. So he just had to deal with it. It's like, okay, you had this pain. He would ask, is this going to get worse? If the answer is no, he's going to deal with it and keep playing. Because in essence, I'm still me and can execute with the God-given abilities. So you just have to adjust. When he had, you know, hurt his finger, you know, he would usually, you know, shoot off, you know, the index, you know, shoot off with the index, right? Then he had to shift and start using his middle finger more. Okay, and just kind of just train and teach himself how to utilize and play the game in that way, you know. Okay, and then also emotions, y'all, is a major component of basketball and anything we do. Emotions are a major part of any of it. Okay, so you want to try your best to stay calm and centered in whatever situation you're in, even when things don't seem like they're flowing well. Stay calm and centered in the Lord. Now, you guys know this isn't a spiritual book, but all this translates over because it's mindset. Where what should our minds be dwelling on and meditating on? It should be the Lord, right? That's where our center is. That's where our true center is. Okay, that's where our peace is. That's where our calm is in the Lord. So when situations are just, you know, wild or seemingly like impossible, God is there to take care of it. Okay, so keep that in mind. Okay. Now, you know, Meta World Peace, you know, Ron Artest, Meta, you know, he told Meta, you got to be present mentally, not just physically, in order to win championships. So you can train physically all day long. You can train in the natural all day long. But if you're not mentally and spiritually fit, you know, you're not going to be able to win these championships. You're not going to be able to win whatever this end goal is. Okay. You got to be able to be locked in that. Okay. So lastly, so built his game with no holes. So the way that he built his basketball game with no holes. Okay. So what that was he would study tape, pay attention to details during workouts, scouting teammates, scouting his opponents. He would just study and do all of this stuff. What separates great players, that has great players, but then there's also all time great players. What separates these two is their ability to self-assess, So these are things you want to do. You want to self-assess daily. Don't assess yourself against anyone else. Self-assess. Okay? Diagnose weaknesses and turn those flaws into strengths. So again, this is key. What separates great players from the all-time great players is their ability to self-assess. So again, look inward at different things that you need to work on. Pay attention to those things. You want to diagnose these weaknesses. Okay, so actually give them a name. Diagnose, like, this is a specific weakness. And then turn those flaws into strengths. That comes from reading the word, having the mentors, training yourself, whether it be physical, working on your craft, all of these things, okay? You want to be able to do that, okay? And then he goes into just like that last game, 2016. I remember watching it. I was in North Riverside over there, you know, hanging out with my guy who also loved Kobe and the Lakers and all of this stuff. We were there watching his last game. Phenomenal game. Y'all already know my boy dropped the 60. Just letting you know, 37 dropped the 60, you know? But it's just like that last game, he said he lost track of time. It was just like, you know, he was just chilling. It was like, yo, it's time for this game. And he wanted that last game to just feel like all the other ones. He had to get himself in a headspace. He said his final game reminded him of pretty much all the same tactical games that he excelled in. The game of chess he always played and loved. Okay? Because he had a somber mood when he was there first. He said, no, I want to flip this and just make it exciting. Go out on a bang. And he did. He did. It was crazy. Lastly, basketball took me everywhere. His game gave him every opportunity that he could have imagined. It translated over to his ability to create, to write, to understand human nature, and how to lead. It gave him that leadership ability. It taught him the art of storytelling. Got him an Emmy, an Oscar, and the vision still continuing to unfold. It took him everywhere, and that's why he used that mission to take others everywhere. Okay? So the thing that God put in you, allow for it to take you everywhere. To have all these opportunities, all the experience, all of the tenor, all of the stuff, to be able to have all of it so that you can pass it on to someone else. And ultimately, that's what God is calling you to do, okay? Just like in the next season of his life, he started training all the other basketball players, you know, the young ladies, the girls and everything, you know. That was just a beautiful time and a beautiful season. So it was great. And then lastly, it wrapped up with the facts and figures. Okay, the facts and figures was pretty much just like the book ends with Kobe's facts and figures validating and tying everything together. So he does all this talking, all this explaining and everything. And then you see the results of that at the end. You see the results of it at the end. You know, the 5 championships, the MVPs, the titles, you know, just the global title, you know, and the USA team, all of these different things and stuff, right? So it was just awesome. So lastly, wrapping up. This is the real wrap up right here. I felt like a preacher. I kept saying, this is the end, you know. But no, this is the end right here. Mamba mentality, the definition. So Kobe says, the mindset isn't about seeking a result. I want y'all to write this down. It's more about the process of getting to that result. It's about the journey and the approach. It's a way of life. I do think that it's important in all endeavors to have this mentality. So it translates over to every endeavor, y'all. Whether he heard an elite college or an NBA player or a Fortune 500 CEO reference the hashtag Mamba mentality, he found it very meaningful. When I see people talk about finding inspiration in it, it makes all my hard work, all of the sweat, all of the 3 a.m. wake-ups feel worth it. That's why I put together this book. All these pages incorporate lessons, not just lessons on basketball, but also on the Mamba mentality. So again, this book was phenomenal. You know, I recommend you get it. You know, I'm going to do some more book reviews as we go along this year. You know, I want to make sure I'm reading a lot more books and give you guys the strategies that I'm learning from these books as well. But man, this book is just a good one because, again, it's about shifting your mind and having that mindset to just study, to just be obsessed with learning, to make everything you learn apply and applicable to take you to the next level. Because again, none of this isn't just for us. When we go to the next level, everyone in our community, in our tribe, in our circles benefit from that. Think of how many people will benefit from what you can offer if you excelled at it, at your skill, if you made more offers, if you just created and you had things that will bless people's lives, okay? Things adding value to people's life is giving them something, as Myron Golden says, giving them something that's more valuable to them than the money that they have, okay, or the time that they have. You know, all of these different things, right, our two most valuable assets, the money and time, right? So being able to offer those things is key. And I want this year, I know you guys have things on your heart, things in your mind that you think God is calling you to do, and this is the year that you are going to execute that. I truly believe that. You know, I really want to start this year off with this because this is 2024. You know, Kobe's number was 24, even though NBA 2K24, you know, got Kobe on it. But 24, this is that Kobe year. You know, for me specifically, you know, that's my guy. You know, love, you know, following this dude all the 20 years. Everybody who knows me already knows. Y'all already know. Because just his mindset as it relates to just being excellent and just being at the top and just that killer instinct that I just love that. I just absolutely love it. And I think that all of us should have that. If we had that, we could change this more, this world much more. Okay? So much more. Okay? So that's key. Okay, y'all? So y'all already know. I'm about to pray with y'all. And that's it, man. So let me go ahead and pray with y'all. So Heavenly Father, God, I pray for everyone who is listening right now and watching this podcast. God, bless them this new year. Bless them, their family, their friends, their endeavors, their goals, all the things you called them to. Bless it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let this be the year. And then I'd be one of those things, oh, by the end of the year, God, start moving right now, God, even as they're watching this. Start letting the phone calls come in. Start letting the relationships unfold. Start letting the creativity unfold, God. All of it. Let it happen now in the name of Jesus, God. Bless this year. Let this podcast be a blessing. Do amazing, radical things this year, God. We just trust in you. Excited to see these things manifest in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Y'all, I love y'all so much. So, again, this season, this year, is all about setting you guys up for success. I've been interviewing people, more interviews to come. The next few episodes in January are going to be wild. They're going to be amazing. I'm super excited. The next episode specifically, I'm going to show you guys how to create your own podcast. Yes, you guys have been asking me this, so I'm going to show you my studio, the ins and outs, what I use, how I set it up. I'm going to show y'all all of that. It's going to be a really good episode, and hopefully you guys can apply it. If it's helpful, I want you guys to let me know. But I'm setting you guys up for success this year because we ain't playing no games. In a couple of weeks, your boy is going to be playing at a conference, a really big conference. It's going to be amazing. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to be at that conference interviewing other creatives, individuals as it relates to worship and things like that. So it's going to be a fun episode too. Just some great stuff coming in January. So get excited, get hyped, share this episode, share it with people, join this family, become a financial partner, y'all. So we go to the next level. You guys have been blessing this. And as we go up, you guys are going up and we are changing this world for Jesus Christ, the one and only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I will tell you to your face, Jesus is the man. So guys, love you guys so much. Happy New Year. God bless you. And I will see you next week.